Okay.
Find out.
Okay, we ready? Okay. Right, so we're doing now, continuing on, we did the Mishnayos, the Mem Chesam Beis and Mem Tesla Beis. Now we're going to do the Gemara on Mem Tesla Beis. And it's basically the Sugya of Doran Shabalev Einan Dvarim. Okay, or Yeshlan Dvarim. So it's the Gemara, it's based on the Mishnah on Mem Tesla Beis. So if you remember, the case was, if you say that I marry, a man says to a woman that I marry you, Almanas, that I'm a Kohen. Okay, I marry Almanas, that I'm a Kohen. And it turns out he's a Levi, so then it's no good. Right? And then at the end of the Mishnah says, even though she says, after the fact, she says, you know what, I really would have married, I had in mind that it's true you said you're a Kohen, but I really don't care. And I would have married you anyways if you're a Levi. So even though at that moment I was thinking that. She was thinking that, Cohen, Levi, whatever. Okay, it's a still, it doesn't matter. Okay, it still doesn't work, and it's still not a condition. Okay, because, again, her das was only on Cohen. She said that she really was thinking even Levi. So it says, that's the idea, Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim. Okay, Dvarim Shebelev, right, Einan Dvarim. Means that the things which are purely in your heart, internal, aren't halachically recognized. They're not considered things halachically. Okay, so based on that theme, the Gemara picks up. Okay, I mean, but that's fine. So it says, "Ahu gavra the zavin when nichsei adaita lemeisak aretz Yisrael." So a guy who sold his property and the das that he's going to Eretz Yisrael. Right, so a guy's moving to Eretz Yisrael. So he has a house, a field, whatever it is. So he sells it, right? Because what use does he have for a field in, in Chutzlar, so he's moving to Eretz Yisrael? But at the time of the sale, he didn't say anything. He just said, I'm selling you my field. Okay, he didn't say that it's al-das achi. Okay, fine. Amar Rava, have a dvaran shivalev. Dvaran shivalev ain't a dvaran. Those are matters in your heart, and matters in your heart are not recognized. Rashi. Lenichse mikarkoi. They're karkos. Fine. Adaitel meisak v'ne'enas v'lo Allah. And some onas happened, and he didn't end up being able to go. Taret Yisrael. V'ina d'zom lo amar de'adaitel meisak mizavnina. He didn't say that he's selling it with the das of going. De'ilu parash b'shas mechira de'adaitel meisak mizavnina. Because if he specified the time of the Mechira that it was with the Das to go to Eretz Yisrael, lo aves vina, then it wouldn't have been a deal. The Adaita Dahachi lo zavin, she hedor kan below cargo, because he wasn't selling it with the Das that he's going to live here without any karka, so there was no Das. The Das, since if he stipulates it at the time of the Mechira, apparently the Das is that I'm selling it under those terms, under that assumption. That, I guess, right, it's like conditional. He's selling it. In the absence of him living here, he's selling it. But if he ends up living here, then suddenly he's not selling it. So if he stipulates that, that's the terms of the das. So he only had das, like that was his das. But the case here is that he didn't stipulate it.
Very good.
Right. So therefore, Rava says, doesn't work because it's Varnshah B'Lev. Okay? So even though he's thinking in his head, it's very nice he's thinking in your head, but it's not going to fly.
So he didn't even... Right.
It's not so far. All he's saying is that at the time of the sale, he didn't say anything. Did he say something beforehand? Did the other guy know that? That's not clear yet. But let's look at the Ron. Right, the Ron
brings
that up. Yeah. But I mean, Rashi's not... I mean, the Gemara does say at the time of the sale, it leaves open the implication perhaps at some other time he did say that. Okay, so let's see. So it says, it's the Ran on Daf Chaf and Mabez. In the Daf Aran. Aref. Daf Aref. Chaf and Mabez. So it says, Hahu Gavra. Okay, it's like the middle, the big lines in the middle there. Hahu Gavra diz of Minhu Lenichsei. Fine. So that was all Rashi so far. Okay, again, we're chafam a base. in the middle of the one hahu. Umiyu, v'shegola daito tchila, de'a daito l'meisa gartzel kalmizven, askinon. We're talking about where originally, again, in the original negotiations or whatever, he said, that was, he made it clear, that's why he's doing it. Right? That's why he's selling it. V'av acharkach anu roim shehu torayach, im yuchalalos. And also afterwards, after this purchase, we see he's trying to make travel arrangements or whatever. Dilavachi, a few havu dvarin shebelev dvarin pshitos lo kol yemenu lomar b'libi have. Because otherwise, he obviously wouldn't have, we wouldn't believe him to say that, oh yeah, I was thinking Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So what's his point here?
There has to be a reasonable kind of
exactly. You're saying there's two issues with Dvarin Shebelev. One issue is like, how are we supposed to know what's in his head? Okay, how are we supposed to know? Right? That's he's saying that's not that there's no Havamina. Of course that would be that's not what Dvarin Shebelev and Dvarin means. Is that because there's no Havamina? Of course you can't just have a system where any guy could just say, oh yeah, I was thinking something else. It's just, that's not the way halacha can't work that way. You know, every guy's gonna make up anything. I mean, I could say, oh yeah, I meant $1 million, not $1,000. I mean, you could say anything. So he says, obviously, you definitely can't do that. That's not even the principle of Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim. That, even if you said Dvarim Shebelev are Dvarim, you couldn't do that. That's just ridiculous. So in Mosby, he's saying that the case is talking about where it's, we know what's in his head. We know what was in his head. How do we know? Because we know originally that was his plan, he told the guy that. And afterwards, we know that that's the case, because we see after he sells it, because he says it afterwards, I think, because otherwise maybe he changed his mind, whatever, but he says that's why he didn't stay, because that's what he'd say. He says, yeah, it's true, he was thinking originally, but now when he did the purchase, he didn't state it, because he changed his mind. Because it's not true, because even after he sold it, he was looking to try to get tickets, so it's not like he changed his mind, he was still in the same mindset, he just never stated it. But we know that that's what he was thinking. He didn't know. It's known to us that that's what he was thinking. So that's the issue of Dvarin Shebelev. And that's what it's saying. Is it's true we may know that that's what he was thinking. The bottom line is, it's just thinking. And halacha Dvarin Shebelev and Dvarim. That's where the question of Dvarin Shebelev, Dvarim and Dvarim is. Is where we know. Where we know that that's what's going on in this head. Okay? And then the question is, and you'll see, this is what eventually we're going to try to define, what's the question? Because it's not simple, Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim. The Gemara looks for sources. How do we know that it's true? How do we know that it's true, Dvarim? Maybe Dvarim Shebelev would be Dvarim. But at least you could see now why it's possible, because it wouldn't be possible if it just means any guy could just say whatever he's thinking. But it means we know, where you could prove that's what he was thinking. Okay, you could prove that's what he was thinking. So at that moment, in the Kenyan itself, it's purely belief. We just know from circumstantial evidence, from before and from afterwards, we know that's what he's thinking. But there's no, but in the Kenyan itself, it's just belief. So, but we know his life. We do know his life. Well, like, what would he say, for instance, about the following? Like, let's say, like, the woman. Like, you could ask a question. Like, let's say the woman, says that she was thinking that she'd even be married to him if he's a Kohen. Right? Even if he's a Levi, right? Even if it turns out he's a Levi.
Oh, wait. No, it's Kohen. You're right.
Yeah, even if...
it's going up.
No, but well, it turns out he's a Levi. But she's saying that she would have married him anyways, even if he was a Levi.
Oh, right.
Right? So let's say you'd say that she can't prove that. Let's say, like, there's no way for you to prove that, right? So you'll say, so what's he going to say there? Like, why is that even an issue with the Moshe B'Lev? How she can prove it there? How does anyone know what she was thinking, you know? So, right, so it's a kasha on the Ron. Because the Ron's saying is that the whole thing, he's only talking about where there's proof. We know what's in our head, otherwise there's nothing to, you know? So what about in the case of the Mishnah? In the case of the Mishnah, that's the Gemara's is talking about whether it's Moshe B'Lev or not. But what do you want you to say that she can't prove it there?
Can you say Tandu?
Right, exactly, right. So I think Shai is right. Is that from heart was there's two questions, two things you could bring out in Dvarin Shebelev. One is halachically, does what's in when the person's head is that recognized? And the other question is even if you say it is recognized, you have to prove, like, how do I can't force my Dvarin Shebelev onto you. If I'm buying something, I can say, oh yeah, I was thinking. Well, I don't believe you. right? But vis-a-vis me, if you say Dvarim Shalev are Dvarim, then vis-a-vis me, they're Dvarim. So for instance, by the woman, if she knows that she was thinking that I'm going to marry him even though he's a Levi, so even though maybe no one else has to believe her, but she knows that that was her das, and she knows that she had das of Kenyan and das of Kedushin, so she's an Esh Zesh. So she's not going to be allowed to marry anyone unless she gets a get. You know what I mean? So as far as she's concerned, she knows. See, when it's dealing with Mamanis, Sandina Mamanis, you say you have to, the other guy's not going to believe you. So it's nice, you know, but you're not going to be able to force the other guy to give you the house back or whatever, unless you could prove it. But in the case of Isser, where she's making herself Usser, then you don't have to prove it. It's just for yourself. It's an afkamina for her. If it is Dvar Shalev Ein Dvarim. Since we say Dvar Shalev Ein Dvarim, so even though she knows that she was thinking that, basically she's totally free. She's not married. She's 100% not married. There was no kinyan whatsoever. She was thinking, it's very nice, Dvar Shalev Ein Dvarim. So Tosa just... That's why Tosa is saying this whole thing about proving it in the Mamanis case, where it's not Isser, that's just a matter of what you can enforce in the Mamanis. So then you have to say that it's talking about a case where she could prove, where the guy could prove that that's what he was thinking. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about.
Doesn't she?
Okay, we go? Okay, so I guess the question which we're going to like to get to understand, though, is... I think this is important to keep in mind, though. When we're talking about Dvar Shalev Ein Dvarim, or our Dvarim, we're not talking about because we don't know what they're thinking. That's what the Ron's point is. We know what they're thinking. But the question is, if we know what you're thinking, still, does Halacha recognize that which is in your head? Okay? And the Gemara is saying, we don't. Okay? And it's not so simple. And again, the question is going to be, why should you not? What are the sides? You know what I mean? But I think, let's leave the question, let's do the Ron a little bit, okay? Let's do some of the facts here, okay? Because the Ron really flushes out the issue and shows you the extent of what the issue of Dvar Shalev is, because it's not so simple. Even though we say Dvar Shalev and Dvarim, there are times where things are apparent, seemingly are Dvar Shalev, and yet they are considered halachically. So that's what he's going to have to draw chiluk to try to carve out exactly the extent of what we're talking about. Okay, so let's see that. So it says, Zeran is Amarava.
But we got the main source.
Yeah, okay, right, okay, yeah. So it says, Me'afaga, Vamarava, Vedvaran Shavalev, Vedvaran Shavalev, and Dvaran. So yeah, in Chafam of S. Me'afaga, Vedkaimalan, Vedukhta, Tuva, Delslin, and Basaram Dana, even though we say in many places that we go by the assumption, okay, the assumed das, even though it's in her lave, and his lave, we go by the, we could make assumptions about their lave. The Amrinam Paragnisha Mesu. So he's going to have three cases. Okay, so the first one is Gavi Misha Al-Khamdina Sayam. So the guy is going to the
faraway place.
Overseas. The Shama Shemes Binah. And he hears that his son died. So his son is his sole inheritor. And he hears that his son died. The Kasav called Nechasav Acher. So he basically gave over all his Nechasim to somebody else. Because, look, he doesn't have a son, so he doesn't need his son to get it. So he gave it over to somebody else. Right? I mean, if the guy's son is alive, you don't give it to somebody else, you give it to your son. But his son died. He heard that his son died, so he gave it to somebody else. The achar kach babino, and then his son came. His son actually was alive. She'ina matana. So it turns out, halachically we say that's not a matana. The azlina basa umdana. Because we go by the assumption, she'iloha yodea shebino kayam lo yakosvan. That if he would have known that his son was alive, he never would have given his nechasim to somebody else. Yeah, he has to give him back, exactly. So what are you saying? He's saying because in his lave, he was thinking, I'm giving it to Plony because my son is dead. Right? So since that's what he was thinking, so he never really gave it to the guy because it was a conditional giving. It was based upon a certain assumption.
Right.
Now, he never said that. It's just that we could assume there's an umdana, an assumption about a human psychology that a person is not going to... He's not gonna do that. You're not gonna give away an chasm to somebody else when you have a son. So it's Dvar Shalev. Right? He didn't say anything. So you see apparently Dvar Shalev or Dvarim. So this is his first question.
How far would that go? Like let's say the guy says
check the case there. Okay. Uperka Yishoshnaflon Chas and Nami Amrina. Gabe Shtar Mavrachas.
Yeah, what's that?
Okay. So Mashtar Mavrachas, so if you look at the case there, I think I'm remembering correctly, but the idea is that you have a woman gets married, and her husband when a woman gets married, her husband will get rights over her her fields, let's say. Okay, that's part of the deal when you get married. And the woman doesn't trust her husband, so she doesn't want her husband to get them. So she does is she gifts her properties to her daughter, okay, or to somebody. Okay, so therefore the husband doesn't know about these properties.
Okay? Before she does this, before she gets married?
Before she gets married, right. So star mavrechas, it's like a star which she writes to, to escape her husband's notice. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So by this star, it says, Moro Rani. So this star, if I see this star, which is basically the woman giving her properties to her daughter, so the question is then, could the daughter actually, you know, the daughter is going to present the star and say, hey, it's my properties. So he's saying is, whoever, I forgot who it was, and the Gemara is saying is that if I get the star, the daughter shows me the star and rip it out. Because, why? Because woman, it doesn't make sense. She wasn't really giving it to her. She was just trying to play a game. She's trying to convince the husband or whatever. She wasn't really giving it because in umdana, then no one in the right mind is going to give away all their properties to their daughter. They have their own money. They're not going to give it away to their daughter. So therefore, we could deduce or believe that she didn't really want to give it. I don't believe. Now, I know the question. I didn't look into this again much. But what do you say is that how is she escaping her husband if not through a real matana? So it's very nice that she'd rather her daughter have it than her husband have it, you know? Like, so I'm not sure exactly. Like, what you just say is that it is a real gift because she knows that otherwise her husband's going to have rights over it. So it sounds like we're placing onto her like a duplicitousness because she's going to trick her husband, but that's... the husband has a right. So she's faking it. And you know, we're like forcing like a lie onto her. Halachic, you know, so I don't know. But whatever it is, the point is however the details work out in that sugya, the point is that the Gemara there says we have a right to assess her psychology and to figure out that she would have never given it under these conditions. So that's basically Zvon Shevalev. That's the second case. Okay? And the third case, it says, Uperg Meruba, Nami, Amrina, Maisabi, Shachas, Shahaya, Benab, Meitzela. So basically, she had a kid, and she was like a single mother, and her kid was really giving her a hard time. It was tough. V'kafza v'nishba, kol mishiyavo elai, ani eni matziyota. So she said, she made a shvua, whoever comes, I guess, makes a proposition, or whatever, I'm not going to turn him down, you know, I'll marry him. Basically, she was fed up, she needed help, and she just said, whoever comes, I'll marry. Okay, I won't turn him away. And really bad guys came to marry her. Okay, ukeshabadav afnechachamim amru lo neskavna zuel haganla. They said that she didn't mean that. She said anybody. She didn't really mean anybody. So even though she said it, but believe, obviously she didn't really mean that. She meant any regular guy. She didn't mean a guy who's not like a lowlife. So you see, these are all again. This is Dvar Shabalev. This is Dvar Shabalev. Okay, so those are probably quite cases. Three cases. Okay? So again, the case of where you give your kid, you give the stuff on the assumption that your son is dead and he's really alive. Case where you give away your properties in order to avoid your husband, but really, you didn't really want to give it away. And the case where you, if you're married, you said you get married to anybody, but you didn't really mean anybody. Okay? So it says, Hanu du kvasayu lo kshien. These cases and anything like that is not really kasha. The chol kai gavna, given she'enin machiach mitocho, since the matter is clear, is manifest from the case itself, lav dvarim shebelev nenu. That's not considered dvarim shebelev. Ere ella harehu ki'ilu nemar v'feirush. It says if he actually openly stated these terms. Demavrechas muchamilsa. Okay, because in the case of Moros, it's clear, it's manifest. Because who's going to give away all their stuff to somebody else and go begging at the doors? It's ridiculous. It's because she's getting married. I think it means because she's getting married, because of the husband that she's doing this. She's not really giving away her properties. Obviously, she's not going to marry any crazy, any disgusting guy. It's ridiculous. Elavadai Loganos Kalna. No, obviously that's what she meant. She meant as someone who's appropriate for her. The Hainu Taimanami, the Matna Shchiv Meira, the Chol Nechasav. So Matna Shchiv Meira is the guy's on his deathbed and he gives away all his money. He gives away all his money on his deathbed. And it turns out he lives. He makes it. He says, Im Amar Choser. Right, if he lives, the money goes back. It says, "The lo amrinan the kedvarim shebelev." You don't say it's just belave that he thought he was going to die. You don't say it's dvarim shebelev, but it goes back. But the we come out nas shtimra b'mikta she'ino choser. So the principle is that if basically he gives away all his money, so then he lives, then it comes back because you say no one in the right mind is going to give away all their money. If they it must be if he thinks he's doing it because he's dying. But if he gives away some of his money, you'll say, look, maybe he really wanted to give away some of his money. So then he can't prove that it's that he was thinking that. So he says, again, because whenever it's manifest intrinsically from the case, that's not Dvarim Shebelev. Ela Dvarim Shebefi Kol HaOlam UBelivam. Rather, it's a funny lashon.
Yeah, it's very funny lashon.
It's not dvarim shebelev, but it's words which are in the mouth of everybody and in their hearts. It's not just dvarim shebelev, but it's words which is in everybody's mouth and their hearts. Even though he didn't say it, but this is words which are in everybody's mouth and their hearts. Avalha dishmaitin lav mucha melsakulei. But in our case, it's not so clear. The Amor Zuzi at Tzurklevis oven. Maybe the guy, he needed money and he was selling his property. It's true he was planning on going to Israel, but how do you know that he was only doing it for that reason? Maybe he was also short money and he needed to sell it. The Afgav de Belibe lo Nichale, Vidan Zvini. I'm sorry, Afgav de Belibe lo Nichale, even though, I'm not sure how it is, but Vidan Zvini, maybe at the time of the sale, even though it really wasn't good for him, Miha lo Mukhamilsa. Or that, or even Zvinim, Yalom Mochamilsa. So that wasn't manifest in the purchase itself. Mishum Hachi, Maskin on the Cholkayam, Dvar Shablev, Ein Dvar. So therefore we say that, so we say Dvar Shablev, Ein Dvar. Alrighty, so that's that. I mean, I plan to go further, but at least for now, I think this is a good place to stop. Rabbein Tam's not going to be happy with it, and it's going to get. Okay. So the basic summary again is if it's clear from the case, then even Dvar Shablev do work. Okay, Dvarim Shebelev do work. But it's talking about Dvarim Shebelev mean where it's not manifest in the thing itself. It's not manifest in the thing itself. So it would be possible to interpret it otherwise. And if it's possible to interpret it otherwise, and the only way you know is because of his lev, then he says Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim. But if it's clear, then it's considered like it's Fi Kol HaOlam, and then it works. Okay, then it doesn't matter that it's Belev. But I guess the question is, look, Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim, and bottom line, I mean, it's still Belev, who cares that it's clear? But if the idea is, Dvarim Shebelev, we don't recognize Belev, the fact that it's clear doesn't make it not Belev, it's still Belev. Right? So what's the idea that when it's clear, then it's okay? And I guess the question is also, maybe we could define, what's the Havimina Maskana in the Ran? Right? Apparently the Havimina is that these would be under Dvarim Shebelev also. Kamash Plan, no, that's not the idea of Dvarim Shebelev. You know, and hopefully if we do this, we'll be able to get a question of what's the whole issue of Dvarim Shebelev altogether. Maybe that's a good way to define it for starters. Let's define the Havamina Maskana of the Ran. Okay, again, the Havamina is that I would think that this is an issue of these things, all these other cases should also fall under the scope of Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim, and therefore they shouldn't be recognized. Kamash Malah, no, this doesn't come under that. This is not Dvarim Shebelev. Those things are not belev because they're clear, and therefore that's not Dvarim Shebelev. So apparently there's Havamina Maskana here about what the idea of Dvarim Shebelev is. Right? Could pull it together. And you're saying that. So let's just put it together here. I mean, I think what Ariel was saying is good, but you're all saying the same thing, I think, is that let's think the Havamina is that Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim means that Halacha simply doesn't recognize the Lev. Okay, like in Halacha is koveya by explicit expressions. That's Halacha. Halacha is determined, let's say by Kinyan, Das. Like even though many areas of Halacha which go by Das, but Das, we can't go by Das. Das is, we only go by that which is explicit, so which is expressed through your Dibor, through your action. Through a star, through that's the halacha simply doesn't recognize what's working internally in your head. Okay, your internal mind is not doesn't register on the halachic radar screen. What registers is that which is expressed manifestly. Okay, so if that's the case, don't you believe? That's what it means. Don't you believe? Is your lave is not dvarim? I don't care what you're thinking. Your thinking doesn't mean anything. It matters what you said. What you said, what you did. So if that's the case, I don't care. It could be as clear as is possible through, you know, through an umdana that who would give away their stuff if not for the fact the kid was dead. Very nice. That we could. That's a good deduction. But the idea of said that's just a deducing what the guy's lev is. But the Vahav Minu, Zorn Shalev and Dvarim, is that halacha simply doesn't recognize what you're thinking. Halacha recognizes what you say, what's explicit. So that's what I'm saying, is that that's not true. It doesn't mean halacha doesn't recognize what you're thinking. Because why not? Like Kenyan goes by Das. Das is Das. But it just means that. That halacha, you can't just go by that which you can't just. The problem with Dvarim Shebelev is that it's not clear. Dvarim Shebelev is it's not clear what a guy's thinking. What a guy's thinking is like a subjective thing, and it's not there's no way to measure what a guy's thinking. But if you could, you need an expression of the lave. Now you can have the lave could be expressed explicitly. Explicitly through his the words, or implicitly. It could be an implicit das. In other words, the lev is, as long as it's objectified, then lev is recognized. It's not pshat that the lev is intrinsically not recognized. It's just that it can't be like a subjective thing. It has to be objectively recognized. So we objectively recognize because of what he tells us, or because it's befi kol olam, we believe him, everyone thinks that. There's no one in the right mind that would ever give away thing to someone else when their kid's alive, so the lave is intrinsically objective and clear. The problem with the lave is that halacha can't just go into a figure out what's in a guy's head. You can't just every guy's going to claim whatever's in his head. So again, that's why either you could state if you're thinking something unique, you state it explicitly. But if it's implicit, if it's yidua, everyone has that das. You don't have to say it. Because that's objectively recognized. Halacha, there's no that's clear. So as long as it's clear what you're thinking, halacha does go by das. And that's how, I guess, how many is you don't go by das? You just go by what it's said. What's going on is you do go by das, but it has to be clear. It has to be clear that that's what his das is. It can't just be what he says his das is. It has to be clear. So it has to be clear that could either be because he says it or because it's you do it. Everyone has that das. But in our case of the selling, it's not clear that that's why he did it. I mean, people sell houses for lots of reasons. So just because, maybe it's true he's going to Israel, but maybe he wasn't that doing it only because of that. So now, he's saying that he did. Okay, that's very nice he's saying, but that's not luckily recognized. But that's what Ron's showing you. So Ron's trying to show you, don't interpret Dvarim Shelevein and Dvarim literally. That it means that the only thing that's recognized halacha is that which is explicit. It's not true. Shalavim dvarim means it doesn't mean where the dvarim are, if they're in the lev or if they're explicit. But it's a certain type of a phenomenon of thoughts, your thought, the world of your thoughts. It's like the subjective, your personal thoughts. That's what dvarim shalavim means. But something which is universal thoughts and everyone has those thoughts, that's not the world of your thoughts. That's dvarim shalavim dvarim. Dvarim shalavim dvarim means. I don't care what you're thinking. Because you're saying it is what you're. It's a person that it's a certain conceptual character of Don Shabalev. It doesn't mean whether it happened to be in your labor, they happen to be explicit. It's a character of Don Shabalev, what you're thinking, your personal thoughts. But if something is befi kol olam, everyone, that's like you said it. What's the difference if you actually say it or if it's implicit in what you do? That's clear. When you say that I'm going to marry, the next guy walks into the room, obviously it doesn't mean I'm going to marry. Some low life. That's what I mean. That is what I mean. I mean that's implicit. So that's not conceptually Dvarim Shebelev. Even though practically they're in my lev, but conceptually that's Dvarim Mefursamim. That's like I said it. You know what I mean? Now what about if I'll ask you a question? That in the case of the Israel case. So he's saying, is it is clear because beforehand you said you're going to Israel and afterwards you're going, like Ron said originally, you know what I mean? So why don't you say now it is clear?
No, because there could be other reasons.
Yep, it's a problem.
Right. So the question is that, so it's tempting to say, David's trying to say, is that no, because it means that it's true, you know you're going to Israel. But it's true that we know you were still trying to go to Israel afterwards, before or afterwards. But maybe you were selling it anyways. Maybe you were selling it anyways. Maybe it happened to be you're going to Israel, but you were just selling it because you needed money. Right? But if that's the case, if that's what he means, so then even if you were to say Dvarim Shaleva are Dvarim,
still
you can't prove it. So how could you force the guy to give you the thing back? Because he can't prove it. But the whole Ron's whole point was that of course you can't say that. So it must be the cases where you could prove that that's why you're selling it. Because you were living in your house perfectly fine. All of a sudden you start looking around to move to Israel. You say, listen, I'm moving to Israel. I want to sell my house. You sell the house. You're still trying to look to Israel. The second your ticket falls through, you say, hey, I don't want to sell my house anymore. It's 100% clear from the whole context that that's exactly what you're thinking. Right, so that was Ron's whole point, that it is clear and you can prove it. That's proof. That's sufficient proof. So if it is, so then why don't you say that, as the Ron just set up, that when something is clear and manifest, so then it's not considered Dvar Shebelev, because it's manifest, it's clear, it's implicit. Right? So it's carefully at the Ron, I think he addresses. If you look carefully at the Ron, I think he is addressing this. And we have to define it. But where, when he talks about this case, there's something which he says which is trying to answer this question. Find it. Avalha. I'll read it again. Avalha d'shmaitin. But in our case, this is like a line before we stopped. The last word in the line is ha. Avalha d'shmaitin lav mechamilsa kuliai. It's not so manifest. The emor zuzi, it's funny, kuliai, what does that even mean? You know, it's not that manifest. The emor zuzi atzrichulai. It's oven, because maybe he needed the money, and that's why he sold it. The Alphagav de Belibe lo nichalei, even though in his heart it really wasn't good. Be'idon zvine miha lo mechamelsa. The time of the sale, however, it was not muchach. U'mishem hachi maskina dechol kehai gavna dvar shabalei v'en dvar. Therefore, we say anything like this is dvar shabalei is not dvar.
It's like they're
all zvine. Yeah, exactly. Be'idon zvine. What Zoran's saying is that even though it's clear, first of all, it's just saying that to use kulei. Whenever you see kulei, you always gotta be, what does he mean by that? You know, he says it's not as muchach. So not clear, fine. But then why? He says, even though in his heart it's not good, be'idon zvine mi halo muchamelsa. At the time of the purchase, it wasn't muchach. Because you're deducing it because of other stuff. But in the purchase itself, it wasn't muchach. Okay, and the other ones, in the thing itself, it was muchach. You don't have to go searching into the history of what, you know, the other guy's lie. That it's in the thing itself. Like, no one gives away their stuff when their son is alive. It's no one does that. So, but here, it's in the thing itself. What are you doing? You're just selling your property. So what is that? There are a lot of reasons why guys sell the property. So one reason could be moving to Israel. One reason could be, you know. Now, it's true, when you look at the context, then you can figure it out. So, but the question is, who cares? I'm saying, I'm not answering. I'm saying that is where Ron is trying to answer with that, because that's what he's addressing. He says, even though it's not good, that's the same. But idon zvine lomu. But at the time of the thing, it's not mucha. So what? So what at the time of the thing? Why is that relevant? Yeah. Why don't let's leave this question, because I'll tell you what else we have to do. We have to define what's the very question of Dvarim Shebelev, Dvarim or Ein Dvarim. Right? Now we know what Dvarim Shebelev are and why this is Dvarim Shebelev and why this is not Dvarim Shebelev. And we know when you say Dvarim Shebelev, right? But now, okay, fine. But now the Gemara is not sure. You'll see the Gemara goes further. It says, how do you know Dvarim Shebelev, Ein Dvarim? Maybe Dvarim Shebelev are Dvarim. Right? So apparently, this is a question. It's not simple. This is itself is a question. You could have said Dvarim Shebelev are Dvarim. And you're going to have to try to deduce it maybe from our Mishnah. I mean, he'll say the Gemara is going to bring sources. But what's the concern? Again, you couldn't figure out the svar whether it is or it isn't until you know what Dvar Shebelev are. That's why they look at the Ron. You know, otherwise, if you don't know what specifically Dvar Shebelev are, it's like a very open-ended. But now that we use the Ron to pinpoint what exactly they are, now you can try to figure out, well, what's the svar about whether you should say they're Dvar or they're not Dvar. So again, that's the second thing we'll take. So again, the first thing is, why is it what Ariel says is true, is that apparently, it has to be muchach mitoch. Like the Rambam says that when you say that it's enough, you don't need it. Could even be belave as long as it's muchach. It has to be from the thing. So why is that true? Why is it necessarily from the thing itself? And then what's the whole question of Dvar Shebelev? If we go past that, then you can go further in the Ran. I mean, we're going to go through the Ran, and it gets very interesting. But then there's a minute of time, is the next thing. He has a question to answer.